Hey man, welcome back to the Super Divorce Supercast.
Welcome.
Episode number 114. Nicholas Villars here, aka Super Divorce, and today on this 114th episode of the Super Divorce Supercast, we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to get into some stuff, but first we're going to start with a segment called Beer Me, just like we did last week, just like we used to do around here that I'm going to try and do. For a little bit. Maybe I'll do it forever, maybe not. But in Beer Me, what I do is I crack open a beer and I say Beer Me. And tonight's beer is just a standard Mick Ultra. It's nothing crazy. I just went out and purchased this at the local Walmart. And I picked up a couple DVDs while I was there too. I got some DVDs while I was there because, do you know this? Have you been to your Walmart recently to check out the media section? Starting to look like slim pickings over there. Prices reduced. Picked over DVD selection all the way down the entire DVD area. DVD and Blu-rays. Picked over. Looked like they haven't stocked it in weeks, at least. They've got the bargain bins out. I picked up one video game. I decided to get World War Z on Xbox Series X because it was only $5. They had a selection of $5 and $10 games on Series X and PS5 and PS4. So I browsed through those. There wasn't too much. They weren't all $5 and $10. There were some $20 games, some $30 games. But I noticed the prices were dropping. Not to the point where I felt like I had to go through and purchase for myself a video game smorgasbord. If the entire run of the place had been $5, then I would have come home with a stack of them. There wasn't much that I felt like paying $20 for, but I was like, well, I don't know, $5 for World War Z, I'll try it out. Why not? So I picked that up, and I picked up a couple DVDs. I got the Deadpool 2-pack, because I'd like to watch the Deadpool films again before the new one comes out. Really the only Marvel movie that I can recall in recent memory that I've actually been kind of excited to see, thanks to that trailer they put together. With Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds. And I also picked up, what was that movie called? Free Guy. Why'd I buy that? I'll tell you why. I was at the waiting area having some service done to my automobile recently. And they were showing Free Guy on the TV in there in the waiting room. And I was like, oh. I watched it for like 15 minutes. I was like, well, that's kind of entertaining. You piqued my interest. I'll sit down and watch this sometime. So I went ahead and bought it because it was like $5 too. So there you go. There's the moral of the story. If you want me to buy stuff, just make it $5. Okay, sure, yeah, all right. This was less than $5, this Mick Ultra. I only bought one, in case you're wondering. Oh, is he in his alcoholic era with his tall boys? No, just one. I got one of these. And I've got a pretty good tolerance, so likely I won't even feel a buzz. But it will, perhaps when all is said and done, since I'm recording this kind of late, might help me to get to sleep. Of course, as soon as I get to sleep, I'm going to be up pissing my pants all night because this is a tall boy. What do we want to talk about today? So, Supercast. What do you want to talk about? We could talk about a bunch of different stuff. What I like to talk about first, I've got my little list here. Made a little list of items, as I like to do. So I'm not going in totally with my ass crack blowing in the wind. I got a little list of stuff that I like to cover. First of all, Let me tell you something. Let me tell you that I played Stellar Blade's demo today. Finally. Cross that off my list so I know not to talk about it again. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? I played the Stellar Blade demo and I was pretty impressed. It was much more difficult than I was expecting it to be. Didn't expect it to be so difficult. I'm reminded of the experience that I had when I started playing Wanted Dead some a month and a half ago back, maybe, where I thought it was going to be like run through, hack and slash, just like you're playing like a big classic, just hack and slash adventure, where you're going to be doing like mindless hacking and mindless slashing, and you're going to go from one enemy to the next. Wanted Dead, I tried that for about 5 seconds, got my ass handed to me on a bronze platter, just humbled me right off the bat. And I said, okay, all right, I've got stuff to learn here. And I finally got the hang of it. But bottom line is, it ended up being a much different game than I thought it was going to be. Still fun, but very difficult, very humbling. And so Stellar Blade also humbled my ass right quick today when I got into it. And I was like, oh, it's like one of them parry and attack at just the right time types of shits. It's one of them, what do they call them now? Soulsborne. It's a Soulsborne. It's fun though. You have to put the time in to start to understand what they want you to do. And now, full disclosure, I played on the normal mode up until the final boss of the demo. This big old guy comes out and you gotta fight him. It's Abaddon. That's right, because it made me think of Abaddon, what Jim Cornette calls the wrestler Abaddon in AEW. I was like, oh, it's Abaddon. Abaddon's here. So you had to fight Abaddon, this big monster, and Abaddon's just blowing up with electricity and just flying through the air, stomp down on you, swishy swash, doodle doo, just blades flying this way and that. And I didn't even know what was going on. I was like, I can't do this right now. I don't have time to sit here and figure out how to decipher all the little intricate maneuvers that this boss is doing so that I might not get my ass handed to me. So I said, all right, well, I made it through the demo most of the way on normal. I'm just going to lower it down to story mode, which is like the easy mode. And I beat him using that lowered difficulty, which didn't make me feel good. You know, I felt like a 2024 video games journalist. But at least I tell you guys that I feel shameful. I feel shame over that. Because the game is there to be a challenge. That's how I see it. I'm not playing it just for a story. You know what? What is that? What is that? What is playing it just for the story? Where they've got story mode? In today's instance, I guess I'm glad it was there because I was able to get through the end or to the end of the demo. But if it wouldn't have been on there, it's not like the thing would have been ruined for me. I probably would have just had to say, well, okay, I'll have to come back to this. I'm not going to get through it today. I will play the full game on normal mode. I will not be lowering it down just to get through it. You see what I mean? But what is that? What is that? Just playing it on easy to just zip through. Are you having the experience? What's the difference between that and just sitting down in front of, you know, your computer and turning on a playthrough and just watching it? Or holding a controller with no batteries in it and just watching someone else play, and you can kind of sit there the way that you would make your little cousin sit next to you while you're playing a game, and you hand him the unplugged controller because he wants to play too. Oh, here you go, buddy. if you're not concerned at all about the accomplishment of getting through the game, then why wouldn't you just watch it? Why would you even bother paying money to half-assedly zippity-doo-dah right through the thing? Like a hot knife through a piece of wet shit. Why would you bother? I mean, if you do bother with it, whatever, that's your money. I'm just saying, for my personal satisfaction, I would not feel satisfied. That would feel like a cop-out. Some people would say, well, that's kind of old head mentality. There's a toxicity to that. You should let go of it. Well, no. No, I don't think I will. You play the game how you want to. You can tell me that I'm doing it wrong. More power to you. But I also reserve the right to tell you I think that you're doing it wrong, that you're missing out on something. That's it. It's not even that you're doing it wrong, necessarily. It's that you're missing out. You're missing out on the sense of accomplishment to push through the hard, difficult parts of a game, to learn the patterns, to get good at executing certain maneuvers at just the right time in a game like Stellar Blade, the one we're talking about, or in the Soulsborne games. But you have that even in other games, like first-person shooters. Maybe you start off, you kind of suck, you don't know the maps. You learn the maps, you learn the strategies, you learn where to go, you learn where people are going to be, where noobs are most likely going to go when they first start playing. And you'd be like, I used to be like you. I know where you're going to go. I know the mistakes you're going to make, and you can take advantage of those. And then you get to teach them a little something in an online shooter scenario. But how about other arcade games? How about Galaga? That game gets hard. I just played a game last night, Zero Wing, on Sega Mania Mania. The difficulty ramps up in an almost frightening way from level to level, and you start dying a lot, and it gets frustrating, but you learn. You make mistakes, then you learn from them. It's not like you make several mistakes and the game says, are you sure you don't want to just play on story mode? And then your guy's fucking invincible, and then you just zip through the rest of the game. You'd miss out on something if you did that. I'm not saying you should be hanged at the gallows. I'm not saying someone should pull your pants down and whip you on the ass with a cat o' nine tails. That's not what I'm saying. But you are, I think, and maybe I can say this objectively and factually, missing out on something. You are objectively missing out on the experience of kind of sucking when you start, and then getting better and feeling the sense of accomplishment when you complete the game, or when you get that high score, or when you beat your first run-through's time. All this stuff, however you want to judge it, you improve. And there's a certain when you improve and do a good job. And so just don't overlook that, okay? Also, Stellar Blade, fantastic physics. Fantastic physics. They did a good job. You know what I mean. But really, the characters look great. The women that are shown in this demo, very, very sexy ladies. They're not afraid to show them off in all of their beauty. They're not afraid to do that at all. Not shy about it at all. The costumes, the colors dancing off of them, just nice. The environments, everything feels big. It feels like a blockbuster film. And it feels like a true AAA title. What you'd want out of a true AAA title. Seem like they've got lots of different customizables inside the game. I think it's going to be quite a smash hit. That's how I'm feeling about it. I'm looking forward to playing the full thing. So, well, I'm sure we'll talk about it more at some time in the future. But, there you go. I thought this was interesting. On Stellar Blade, here's a little tidbit. I read earlier today that the game Stellar Blade is going to be uncensored. It's going to be uncensored version all across the world. So it's not like one region is going to get the good version of the game and the other one's going to get kind of like a toned down, pared down, lame-o version. If you play Stellar Blade in Japan, it's the same Stellar Blade that you're going to play if you go to Guatemala or if you go to Newfoundland. Or maybe you're going to play it in Arizona. Maybe you're going to play it in Argentina. Wherever you play the game, it's going to be the same version all across the world. Good job. That's good. It's good to see game developers and publishers not capitulate to demands to censor their games and their works of art in this way or that for this or that region. It's like, you want us to sell Stellar Blade over here? We're selling it right here. Do you want us to sell it over there? Yeah, but only up. Nope. Do you want us to sell it to you? You want to be able to sell it to your people over there? If so, it's going to be the same version we're selling right here, which is a Stellar Blade. So, there you go. Stellar Blade. Little Stellar Blade segment for ya. Oh boy. Now, earlier, before I played Stellar Blade, I was working a bit on the next Super Divorce review in the style of the Iron Lung video, in the style of the Night at the Gates of Hell video. You know, more production, some little written skits and funnies thrown into it. Some sidebars and non sequiturs and all that kind of shit. And I'm kind of trying to map out all the stuff from the game that I want to include. And it's been a little bit of a struggle to like keep my head in the game because I haven't done this type of video in a while. And yeah, I'm excited to do it and I was excited to get into it. But after gathering all the footage, there was a lot of footage to gather. And then making a list of all the things I wanted to include. Now I'm at kind of like the, I guess you would call it kind of a boring part, where I'm not really writing the creative parts of the script, if you will. I've got my initial bullet points, and then for part two of writing, at least this is how I typically do it, I got my bullet points, and then I'll say, all right, bullet point one. Let's drag that over here and let's expand on this a little bit. Let's do some technical writing about controls. Maybe that's what bullet point one is. We drag controls over here. Okay, what do I want to say about the controls? What do I need to tell the viewer about the controls in this game? And then I kind of start writing that out in technical detail. The creative stuff I will add in at like the next revision where I've gotten all the technical information. I can read through that. I kind of know in which order all of this information is going to be presented. And then I can decide how to sex it up a little bit, where I want to add in some humor and some quick witty jokes and stuff like that. This part, there are no jokes. There is no quick wit involved. It's like writing a textbook. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. And I started thinking about this video and the shape of it and what I want to accomplish with it. And without giving the game away, I will say that there's a sequel and I started thinking about the sequel, and I was like, well, hold on. Maybe this video would be better if I did the original versus the sequel. A double game vid. Taking a look at the original and then comparing it to its brother or sister, if you will, that came out several years later. And so that led me down a rabbit hole. And I started looking for the sequel. I couldn't find it on Amazon. And it would take too long to get here if I ordered it from eBay. So then, since it is an Xbox 360 game, I'll give you that much. I thought, okay, I know that GameStop doesn't really advertise it, but they do still sell Xbox 360 games at GameStop. They've got a very small selection usually at most stores at this juncture, but you usually will find a few. So I looked on their website. None of the online stores had it. I called one location by my house. They didn't have it. They checked other ones in the area. No one else had it. And I was like, oh boy. All right. Well, this is going up in tubes. My last ditch effort was to check all of the pre-owned game stores in the area. So I did a little research there, pulled up a list of video game stores, basically within like an hour's drive. I was willing to drive a little over an hour, actually, for some of the areas I was looking. And that was like a moment of disappointment, I must say. Because as I'm searching for pre-owned video game media stores, it's just like there are so few of them left. And you don't realize it until you start actually searching for them. And I feel like even 5 years ago, there were a decent amount. No more. It's like you type in used video game stores near me, and it's if you pull up like your maps, if you have an iPhone or Google Maps, if you're using an Android and you're like used video game stores, it's probably going to be like 15 results of just GameStop, GameStop, GameStop. Now, if they go out of business, it's going to be nothing. I've got like, I can count on one hand the number of stores that I was able to call within, like I said, about a 60-mile radius here. And no one had the game I was trying to find. At least most of the people I talked to were nice. One guy was just like, he was a dick from the get-go for no reason. And I want to think to my, I'm thinking to myself, and I want to say to him, dude, you know how few stores like yours are left? You have no room to be an asshole to people calling, searching for something, asking if you've got something in stock that they might be willing to drive an hour or more to pick up. You can't be doing that. Here's what happened. Dial the number, ring, ring. Thought I heard someone pick up. So I wait for a second. Doesn't say anything. Maybe 5 seconds go by. And I'm like, hello? Yeah. Yeah, is this... I said the name of the store. And he's like, yeah. Am I talking to LA Knight? Yeah. And it was like right off the bat, we're in a combative situation here. I was trying to bring it back down. It was like, yeah, I was just calling to see if you guys might have a game in stock, if you're able to check your inventory. And it's just like, just short and prickish for no reason. And I know you never know what people are going through. That's always the go-to. Well, you don't know what... I get that. But this is the way it works in my book. Unless someone has just been through like a catastrophic event, in which case they probably shouldn't be at work. You got to be able to suck it up. You got to be able to leave your baggage at home. You can't carry your baggage, your prickish attitude into the workspace and and throw that horse shit at people who are just trying to have a fun, casual interaction with you. You can't punish people for what's going on in your life. That's no excuse. I get it. Yeah, people are... Everyone's fighting a battle you know nothing about. I know. We all know that. I've been through tough times. And I have bad days. And I try my best to never just heap that on people who didn't do anything to deserve it. So, anyway, I didn't find the game. It looks like this video is going to be a singular game video. I don't think I'm going to be covering both titles, but maybe at some point down the road, maybe I will pick up the sequel that I was looking for and cover that one in a different review video altogether. We'll see. We'll see how this next review video goes. If people don't react at all, if the review that I'm working on right now just is horribly received, if people are like, why did you do this? Why not only did you cover this game, but why does this video suck? Why did you make a video like this? Why is this terrible? Then I'll probably not do its sequel. I'll probably move on to something else. What's next? Oh, so I was talking about looking for stuff. Not only was I looking for a particular video game, a pre-owned video game that you can't really buy new anymore unless you want to pay exorbitant prices for it, I was looking for something else. I was looking for an old CRT television. I've got a big one. I've got one of the big projection, rear projection ones, an old-fashioned big-screen TV that I use to play some of my older game systems on, and a kind of a nice mid-sized old-school flat-screen Trinitron, Sony Trinitron. So I've got two nice retro TVs, but I would like a smaller one that can sit on my desk so that I can hook up. Can you see this back here? You see that on the floor right there? If you're watching on YouTube, you can see what's on the floor. If you're not watching on YouTube, I'll just tell you, that's an Atari 400. Not the Mini, not the Atari 400 Mini that just came out, but the actual Atari 400 personal computer. That computer just hooks up to a television. I don't want to have to hook it up to the big screen TV. I would like to be able to set it on a desk and use it thusly. But I don't have any TVs that I can use in that capacity. So I was looking around online for CRT television sets. Man, you want to talk about another item that's really gone up in prices. Woo! Woo, woo, woo! You know, we're talking some of these guys from like the late 70s, 80s, you'd be paying $1,500. $2,000, $3,000 for one of these guys in nice condition. Not all of them are that much, but certain models, of course, the ones that I'm most drawn to when I'm looking at, before I see the price, if I'm scrolling through eBay or Shop Goodwill is another place where you can sometimes find cool old electronics, or Mercari.com. Searching through and it's just like that momentary blip where, ooh, what's that? What's that thumbnail picture right there? What is that? That looks nice. And then the next thing you look at is the price. And it's, oh, that's the one I can't afford. That's the one I can't buy. Of course, that's the one that I am drawn to. The one I can't have. Well, so I didn't see anything that I was going to pick up. I was also looking on Craigslist. And, saw some stuff on there, but nothing too great, nothing too crazy. It's a wild world trying to find this cool retro stuff, especially since so many people are in it to grab this stuff and then put it back online and sell it at a higher price. I would wager that the majority of this shit that you're seeing that's super high priced is all stuff that is going to be flipped. By and large, it's probably going to be flipped. And I'm not saying people don't have the right to do that. I'm just saying it kind of sucks. It sucks for the collectors who want the stuff because they actually want to use it, or they're going to put it in a collection, a mini museum of their own, stuff like that. That's fine. I guess ultimately it's all fine, but it just kind of sucks. It sucks because 15 years ago, all this stuff would have just been out at garage sales. Or you would have seen it sitting on the side of the road because people didn't think anyone would want their old television set when they upgraded. That was so common. But yeah, that's actually how I got my Trinitron I mentioned. I found that sitting in the parking lot, not the parking garage. I didn't find it in the parking garage. I found it in the parking lot of the local Kroger, just sitting there with its nice TV stand as well, made for that television. And I was like, oh, I'll take that. Yeah. But you're seeing less and less of that these days. The stumble upon something nice, something old school and nice. So many people are clued in now. Oh, I could probably get $500 for this. So I'm going to go put it on Craigslist or eBay now. And fair play to them. I'm just saying, it sucks for us collectors to not have those avenues anymore. Where people are just like, well, we got the new flat screen. Let's throw the old what's-his-fuck out in the front yard there and see who wants to drive by and pick it up. You just don't see that anymore. And that's kind of a shame. Even, and I don't know, I'm going to, here's, you know, let me say this. I'm going to run a little experiment. Because I can't say that I've done an exhaustive research of the current landscape of garage sales and garage sailing. So I'm gonna start hitting some garage sales. And I'm going to report back and let you guys know what I'm finding out there. Obviously, I can't buy every television that I see. And I can't buy every piece of electronic equipment that I stumble upon that I think is cool. I just don't have unlimited funds. I can't do that. I might buy some things. But I can at least get my ass out there. And then I can speak from authority and let you know, here's what it looks like in 2024 when you go through the neighborhood scouring all the garage sales. Here's kind of what you can expect to find based on my observations. Right now, I stop at a garage sale every now and again. And when I do so every now and again, I don't find much. That's my current observation. But I can't say that is a good representation of garage sales across the board, because oftentimes when I stop at these garage sales, it's later in the afternoon, or maybe it's the second day they've been running it. If you want a good idea of the inventory that you can expect to find at garage sales in 2024, you're going to have to go early. And you're going to have to hit multiple spots, and you're going to have to be on the ball. Because you're not the only person who knows those garage sales. That's where you're going to find your deals. If there are deals to be found out there still, that's where they're going to be. Because those people, a lot of them probably know they've got some shit that they could sell on eBay, or that they could sell on Craigslist for a higher price. Garage sale people, they want the shit out of there. They're moving, or they're out of space. They just want it gone. When I worked at Buybacks, secondhand media store, sometimes people would come in, they'd have NES games, and the store had this insane policy when it came to retro games, what they considered retro at the time, old cartridge games. Any cartridge game that came in from like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, anything from that era, we paid out $1. $1 for it. It doesn't matter if we were going to take that game and put it in the glass case and sell it for $200. $1 for cartridge games. And I would tell people this multiple occasions. Guy, you know, came in, one that I'm thinking of, a guy came in, he had all the Mega Man games that came out on the NES. And I think he had some Mario Brothers and a few others in there. And I was like, dude, I don't want to take these from you. It's like, you know, you probably got like whatever he had. I went through it and I was like, we're going to sell this stuff for like over $500. His little haul that he had there. I was like, we're going to give you $1 a piece for these. Some of these games are going to be selling for $75, $100. And he's like, I don't care. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I don't want them. I'm not going to sell it on my own. I'm not going to put them up on eBay. Just whatever. Whatever you want to give me. And I felt bad. I was like, I don't want to put this transaction through. And then you're also thinking to yourself, fuck, I could offer this guy like $20. Because what are we going to pay him? You know, however many games he had, between 10, 15, something like that. It's like, I could give him $20. I could give him a $20 bill out of my pocket and just take all these games home with me. And couldn't do that because the boss was there and kind of would cost you your job if you undercut the company to purchase things from someone straight up. So that sucked. That was like the worst part of that job, was when situations like that would arise and someone would have something that I knew for sure we were going to mark up just an incredible amount, and the store was going to make a silly amount of money off of what they paid out for this thing. And so many people are just totally don't give a shit about it. All right, I can't make you care. I can't talk you into selling it somewhere and actually making your money back. What are you going to do? Oh, but enough bitching about that. Let me see what's going on here. What else do we got going on? The oldest man alive. How about that? You guys hear about this guy? The oldest man alive is now 111 years old. I believe he's an Englishman. I forgot to write his name down. You want to know his secret? Here's his secret to living 111 years on this planet of Earth. He said, be lucky. He said, it pretty much comes down to luck. Some people are going to live a long time. Other people are going to live a short amount of time. And then he shrugs his shoulders. He didn't really do anything special. He didn't have a secret health regimen. Nope, nothing like that. You know, the closest thing to a longevity secret that this man has in his life? He eats fish and chips every Friday. That's his longevity secret, if you want to classify it that way. If you're looking for something this guy does in a routine fashion, he goes out and he eats fish and chips every Friday. And it reminds me of this lady who also was like, I remember this news report from several years back. I think she was 100 and something, and she drank 2 Dr. Peppers every day. Like 2 20 ounces of Dr. Pepper. That was her. That's what she swore by. It almost breaks your brain. You do your best to be a healthy person. At least I do. I'm drinking a beer right now. I'm not what you would call a health nut. I enjoy an alcoholic beverage from time to time. I don't go nuts. I don't drink beer every single day, but, you know, I like it sometimes. Anyway, that's just to say, this is more of an anomaly for me. Most of the time, I'm drinking water or coffee or eating healthy foods. I don't do a lot of crazy snacking. I'm not like a snacky type of guy. I don't constantly have a bag of Doritos next to me here at my computer desk. I'm not getting Cheeto dust all over my keyboard. That stuff's not going on. I don't really do that. I'm just not snacky. I've worked that out of my system because it's 100% not good for you. Maybe it's not gonna, maybe cutting out snacks won't ensure that you live to be 111, but I have a common sense feeling. It makes sense to me that you might get a few years extra if you're not constantly shoving potato chips and candies down your throat throughout the day. If you can avoid doing that, you're probably going to be at least a little bit healthier than the people who are. You're not going to get diabetes and all this kind of shit. And if you stay active, you're not going to one day wake up hunched. You ever see these people where they walk around like this? They're shuffling. I mean, some people, it just looks like their back, like the shape of their body. It's like a U. They're so bent over. They don't get that way overnight. You get that way from sitting around, from not moving, from not stretching. They didn't just wake up in a U-shape one day and be like, oh, fuck! I've got the U-shape thing. I'm old. That's not how it happens. It's people who get to my age, get to your late 30s, and you start making excuses for yourself. Oh, my knees! Oh, my back! You just have to stay active. That's if you don't want to be groaning about that shit all the time, which I think is kind of pathetic, you just have to stay active. And if you haven't been active and you got to kind of kick your ass into shape, you probably will hurt for a while. You got to work that stiffness out of your system. But then you'll find once you're limbered up, just because you're near 40 years old does not mean that you go to bed and you wake up like a brick. You're not waking up all bricked up every single day if you're an active, healthy, limber individual. If you're doing your stretches, if you're doing a little DDP yoga, if you're getting out there and running and you're doing a little weightlifting, you don't have to do competitive weightlifting. You don't have to be a power lifter. But you just move some weights around. And if you do all that and you stay in the game, you make that part of your lifestyle, your body stays in the condition to keep that up. If you stop doing all that for like 20 years, you will slowly deteriorate because you're sending the message to your brain and your muscles, we don't need to use this shit anymore. You can go ahead and shut it down. Go ahead. Shut it all down. Let it go. We're not using it. We're not going to. We're not interested. We don't need it anymore. We're just going to sit in the recliner and work on getting our U-shape going. Fuck that. Fuck that. And if you do all of that, if you stay in shape, I mean, if you put in a little work, and you stay consistent, then you can probably go out and enjoy your fish and chips on Friday and not have to worry about dying at age 22. Oh, anyway, what else is going on here? What else do I got? Let me look at my cheat sheet. So, I was trying to find any fun goings on in the world of video game news right now. Started searching through some of the old-fashioned video game websites and came to the startling realization that there's a trend in the world of not just video games, comic books and video games, I would say, are probably the big two when it comes to this. This problem, when you go to websites that were once dedicated to video games, or that were once dedicated to comic books, so many of these sites now are overrun and inundated with just like general pop culture bullshit. Just news that doesn't pertain to video games. You go to a video game website and you get a bunch of news about the latest pop vinyls coming out and what the latest director has going on. And it doesn't even necessarily, we're not talking about the latest director of an upcoming video game or comic book franchise. It's just, check out Steven Spielberg's upcoming film on like comicbook.uk. I don't think that's a real site, but just, I'm just saying, for instance, you go to go to comicbook.com and you're not going to find very much titillating comic book news. Maybe that might be because the world of comic books these days is just not very titillating. There's not a lot going on in the world of mainstream comics that is titillating, because the industry is being burned to the ground, and it has been in the process of burning for, I would say, the better part of a decade, if not more at this juncture. But it's in really bad shape. And I think mainstream video games are headed that way too. Many of them. Luckily, it takes less money and fewer people to make a solid, I mean rock solid, independent video game in 2024. Some of the indies now that are really well polished, I mean, they rival the AAA games, if not outdo them often, because you're dealing with developers, creators who actually give a shit about the product they're putting out into the marketplace. Not people who are just getting unlimited funds to shove whatever horse shit down your throat and then shame you for not liking it. Call you toxic. Oh, the fans don't like this game because it's toxic. They don't know how much work goes into this. If they knew, they'd be a little nicer when they were talking about our games. No, it's your job to entertain. It's your job to make sure that people don't talk shit. Now, I know that there's always going to be some trolls out there. There are always going to be people who don't like this thing, whatever it is. It could be the most perfect game of all time. You're going to have a group of individuals who don't like that game, whatever. And that's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about when a general audience is overwhelmingly negative about a particular game, and then the audience gets blamed. Like, no, that should never happen. If that happens, it's 100% incumbent upon the developers, the people who created the game, the people who funded the game, to get together and say, what went wrong here? Because Yeah, there's a culture of criticism and people shitting on things, but generally, I think people, they would rather play a good game than a bad one. People would rather be entertained than have their time wasted. And that's what people get upset about, is when they feel like you've wasted their time, or you've wasted their money, or you've taken something that they used to love and you've just taken the biggest, steamiest diarrhea shit all about the damn thing, all over the history and the future of it, and ruined it for them. People don't like that very much. And they especially don't like it when you get snarky with them for not liking it, or when you try to blame them for not liking it. It's their problem. Well, this is my creation. If you don't like it, then da-da-da-da. No, you should say, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. What could we have done differently to make this experience a little more enjoyable for you? What were you looking forward to that we didn't deliver on? You get that feedback, and then you come out with something the next time that hopefully people can sink their teeth into and get some enjoyment out of, damn it. That's what all this shit's supposed to be about. Supposed to be about people creating things that they have a good time creating and then releasing it to a public who's going to have a good time playing or watching or reading that creation. Bunch of creators out there have lost sight of that. It's too bad. Well, guys, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm a little sleepy. It's late for me. I told you that I'm in the process of getting this next review all fired up. I'm not gonna give you a release date for it yet, but I am working on it, chipping away at it, and I hope to begin actually shooting some of the segments and editing the video together within the next couple days. When it's actually going to be released, I don't know yet, but sooner rather than later. I can tell you it's not going to be like 6 months from now. It's not even going to be a month. Okay? Within a month. Earlier than a month, we'll have this video up and ready to go. And until then, we'll have some podcasts. We'll have some Sega Mania Mania. We'll have the Evercade program where we're going to be live playing some Evercade games. Got a new Evercade program on Wednesday night this week. That seems to be the. I think that's kind of the pattern that I'm falling into. We'll do Sega Mania on Mondays, and then the podcast I think you can look forward to on Tuesdays, and then Evercade on Wednesdays. That's kind of the, I think that's a good schedule right now. So we'll try and keep that up. If you're watching on YouTube and you haven't done so, please sub to the channel. Bong the gong for notifications so you know when new videos go live, so you know when I go live. Comment below anything you want to say, anything at all. Questions, concerns, requests. You can leave those comments on any comment section. You could probably leave a comment on the SoundCloud too. I don't think anyone uses SoundCloud. That's just where these things get uploaded first, and then they go out to Spotify, and they go out to the fucking various podcast platforms, and they go on YouTube here. But most likely, if you're going to comment, it's going to be on the YouTube page. So, whatever you got there, the comment section is your oyster. Crack it open, slam it down your throat, and wash it down with a nice tall frosty mug of cocktail sauce. Follow me on Twitter, X at SuperDivorce, on Instagram at SuperDivorceBand. And I play music from time to time. If you'd like to check out some SuperDivorce tunes, add some new tunes to your playlist, You can look up Super Divorce streaming music on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. Wherever you stream your horse shit, you can find Super Divorce. So type in Super Divorce, click on the song you're choosing, and try it out. And if you don't like it, well, then try a different one. If you don't like that one, try another one, and again and again and again until you find one you do like, because I believe that there's a little something there for everybody in the old Super Divorce catalog. And additionally, if you find that you're enjoying the Super Divorce tunes streaming and you want to add some Super Divorce physical merchandise to your collection, to your CD collection, to your vinyl records collection, to your cassette tape collection, I have, for the first time in probably like close to a year, made all of those items available on the Bandcamp, which you can get to by just visiting superdivorceme.com. Superdivorceme.com will take you to the Super Divorce Bandcamp page, and there you can find the latest Super Divorce album action figures. 10 songs of synth pop, new wave radiance, just waiting for you. If you're a fan of bands like Tears for Fears and Depeche Mode and New Order and shit like that, I think you really enjoy the latest Super Divorce album. And there are still physical copies that you can purchase. CDs, cassette tapes, and vinyl records right there for you. superdivorceme.com. And I believe that's going to just about do it for this evening. So, everybody, until next time, take real good care, keep kicking ass, love you lots. Lord willing, I'll be back very soon with another video for you to watch. Bye-bye.
We can go viral with this one.